We good? Everybody happy?
Amen.
Are you glad to be in church under a tent tonight?
Yeah.
You know, church really isn't about the building we're in. It's about the people who are there. And I believe we're all in the right place at the right time. You know, and they mentioned a minute ago that we came a long way to be here. But you know what I think? I feel like I made an appointment with God, and God made an appointment with me, and that appointment happened to be here. And so I believe for each one of us, God's made an appointment with us for this moment. For we're all in the right place at the right time. Good things are going to happen. I have good news for you. I have good news for you. God is good. The devil is a loser. And we win. And that's all because of the amazing, as they sang already tonight, the amazing love of God towards us empowers us to live a wonderful, beautiful, successful, victorious, and joyful. You can do all things through Christ. Right?
Amen.
Am I talking to the right people or just one person? Because I got one saying amen. Anybody else here?
Amen.
All right. So you want me to do this?
Yes,
okay, I'll do this. And I turn this one off? The light was off already, so it must have already gone off. Can I just hand that to you? All right. Well, as I said a few minutes ago, my name is Brandon Holler, and I know that some of you got to hear my dad earlier, I guess last week. Was he Monday and Tuesday of last week?
And your mom, Tuesday and Wednesday.
He was Tuesday and Wednesday? I'm just trying to calculate how many days between him and me that you've had a chance to maybe forget, so you're not going to compare or measure. Jim told me that I was following my brother-in-law, Derek. I was like, I'm not worried about that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just playing. But I am honored to be here. My life got better when I met Jim and Misty Ritchie, and it's always an honor for me to be around them, and I'm grateful to be able to call them my friend. And I hope that for each one of you in your lifetime, that I've said this before and I say it in front of Jim all the time, but I hope that each one of you in your lifetime find yourself a good friend like I found in Jim Ritchie. And he's a good man, and it's always good to have good people around you, right? And I'm very honored to have my brother here tonight. He's going to be preaching the next couple of nights. So I'm just going to stir the pot, and then you can fix it all whenever I'm done. But I'm most honored to have my son here. This is my son, Coy. Coy, would you stand up and let everybody see you? This is my son. I tell people he is as awesome as he looks. He's an awesome guy. All right, if you have a Bible tonight, I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 1. I want to share a fairly simple thought with you, but I think that sometimes we forget the magnitude of the simple things that are in the Bible. You know, if we're in church long enough, we'll find real quick ways to complicate everything. And we start adding our own thoughts in and our own doctrines in and what we've heard the preacher say or that preacher say or the guy on TV say. And before long, we realize that this simple way that we got saved all of a sudden is complicated. And I believe that God wants us to get back to the simplicity of His Word. I was talking to a young lady on airplane the other day. I was flying back from Phoenix on Saturday back to my house, and I met this young lady on the airplane. And I'll tell more about her in a minute. But something that I said to her, I said, you have to remember that God, she said, she was talking about God being very complex. And I said, yes, he is complex, but he's not complicated. He's simple. He is complex, but he is fairly simple. He has certain things that he has said in his word that we can go to and find out who he is, what he's like, what he thinks. Some people, it's sad to say there's a lot of Christians. I hope this isn't you. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes right out of the gate. But it's sad to say there's a lot of Christians who walk around going, well, you just never know what God will do. Yes, you do. You just got to open the Bible and it'll tell you what he'll do. You don't have to walk around guessing all the time. He'll tell you. He actually wrote it all down for us. All you got to do is open the book and go there. You don't have to live your life in a mystery with God. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Not they might, they could. If all the stars are right and they're standing in the right place, one foot in the air, can you hear me now, Jesus? No, he said, "My sheep hear my voice." That's a promise to us, and I believe we hear God more than we realize. But life and experience and religion has taught us to complicate what we hear. And so I'm hoping to untangle some of that tonight, and let's get back to a real simple truth that the Bible tells us, okay? And it's found here in Hebrews chapter 1. Are you there? Okay. Hebrews chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 1. It's a good place to start. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Before I do, Jim, Misty, I bring greetings from my wife. She's not here, obviously. And okay, well, you don't have to forgive me. You have to forgive her. She said she made a promise. She's coming next year. Because how many times have I come out? This is the third time out here, right? She didn't come with me. Yeah. Well, lots of witnesses. Y'all all heard me say that on her behalf, right? She's gonna be here, and. And next year, our oldest daughter, my wife and I, we have four kids. We have three daughters and one awesome son. And our daughters are awesome, too. But our oldest daughter, she's actually the oldest. She's 19. She'll be 20 in a couple of weeks. And she's in Sydney, Australia at college. I'm like, babe, there's lots of colleges in Texas. But she decided she wanted to go to Australia, and so that's where she went. But she'll be done in December, so I'll bring her with me next year, too. And then we have Coy, he's 17, just turned 17. And then we have Naomi, who's 14, and Macy, who's 10. And they're all really incredible, thanks to their mother. All right, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days..." Which days? These days. That it's talking about right now. Okay, he spoke to mankind one way, but he's telling us now in these days, something has changed. He says, "He has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express," that is the exact mirrored image of his person, "and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask you, Lord, to speak to us through your word, through your Holy Spirit tonight. I pray, as the Apostle Paul prayed, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would be at work within our spirits, so that we would know you better, so that our eyes would be enlightened, so that we would know the greatness of your power and the exceeding riches of your inheritance in the saints. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive what your word has for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, would you just turn to your neighbor and tell them how pretty they are? Say something nice to them. Okay. I want to point out something. This is a side thought. This is a side thought, but it's a good thought. We might need to take up a second offering just for this thought. But all I said to you was tell your neighbor how pretty they are, and you did that. But then you laughed and added a few extra things and talked. You see what edification does? Edification immediately, instantly lightens the atmosphere. We ought to be the people who go around just building people up all the time. If things are dark and things are frustrating, that's not the time to talk about how dark and frustrating it is. That's time to build somebody up, because it changes the atmosphere in just a moment, right? So this scripture here tells us that God had a way that he spoke to mankind. He had a way that he talked to us, but now he changed that way. He changed how he talks to us and how he wants us to think about him. And how he did that was he gave us Jesus as the word and the picture. That means that I don't. You shouldn't. Please don't. Look at Job to try to figure out what God is like. Because in these days, he gave us Jesus to show us what he's like. Before, it was about what Job was like. But today, it's about what Jesus was like. Don't look at Moses to try to figure out what God is like. We look at Jesus. Amen. Don't look at David to try to figure out what God is like today. Because God changed how he communicated with us, how he talked to us, how he dealt with us, and the picture that he gave us was Jesus. So today, if we're going to develop a doctrine or a theology about God, it has to be based first and foremost on Jesus Christ. And I tell you the truth, there is no equal. Moses isn't equal to Jesus. David's not equal to Jesus. Ezekiel and Isaiah, Elijah, and the prophets are not equal to Jesus. Jesus is in a class all his own. Stop looking at those guys to try to figure out what God is like. Look at Jesus. Because in these last days, he chose him to be the picture to us. Is that too strong for tent revival? Okay. You got to start there, because if you don't start right, you'll find yourself way off course in just a matter of minutes. You'll start coming to some conclusions about God that are inaccurate and not true. And then you'll say things and come to assumptions about what God does and how God behaves towards you. And you'll start reasoning things out in an improper way if you don't have this part right first. You have to look at Jesus. Okay. The day that I see a scripture, since we're out there, I'm just going to go a little further. The day that I find a scripture where Jesus puts sickness on someone to teach them a lesson is the day I'll believe that God does that for me today. But until you can show me that, I flat out reject that idea. I'm not saying it didn't happen in times past. I'm just saying in these last days, Jesus is the picture. Amen. Listen, we got good news and it just gets better and better. And the more you'll read it through the filter of Jesus Christ, the better the word gets. It comes more and more alive all the time because Jesus is the picture. It says he is the exact mirrored express image of God. Jesus even said this himself. He said, well, if you've seen me, you've seen him. You've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everything I do because I saw the Father do it. So what did Jesus do? Well, Acts says he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, I had someone tell me, well, your idea of good and God's idea of good may be different. No, they're not. That's dumb. And since none of you think that way, we're just going to talk about all those other people who call themselves Christians. And since they're not here, we're Christians, so we'll talk about them behind their back. It's okay to laugh in church, too. Yeah. We can't take ourselves too serious. If we take ourselves too serious, you're going to miss out on a lot of really funny things. Now, I'm not here to pick on denominations or separate denominations, but I grew up in a Pentecostal charismatic group. My best friend is Southern Baptist. Any Southern Baptists here? Any Southern Baptists? Yeah, I told my friend, I said, you don't even know what church is like. If you were raised Southern Baptist and didn't you experience Pentecostals, yeah, y'all had boring church. Any Pentecostals in here? I see, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, okay, I'll tell you one story. We had this lady in our church that every time she came up to get prayed for, she fell down. Okay? You can call it being slain in the Spirit, moved in the Holy Spirit. I'm not against any of that. I'm just saying every time. Well, she was the largest person in the church, and the head usher was the smallest person in the church, and his job was to catch her every time. And he always braced himself, and you could hear his back crack over the music that was being played every time. And he'd always straddle like this, and he'd get down. He getting ready. Well, we went to have a joint meeting. We went and had a joint meeting with several other churches, and then the pastor from one of the other churches decided to pray for her, and he was praying for her, and she fell forward. She fell towards him. Well, I was up on the stage playing the guitar, and I see it, all that happen. I was like, whoa. But I didn't realize what had happened till after, and then we couldn't stop laughing. But when she fell forward, he had an ink pen in his front pocket, and that ink pen went straight up her nose, and she ripped his front pocket off of his shirt, and they both went down on the ground, and she sat up, pulled the pen out of her nose, and tried to hand it back to him, and he's like, no, that's okay. You can keep that. Come on, Baptist folks, you ain't had church. If you ain't seeing that stuff in church, you're not having church. Right? Man, I don't even know how we got on that. Jesus, help us. In these days, listen, Malachi chapter 3, I have to reference this because people always, they always want to bring this verse to me. About when I start talking like this. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, God speaking through the prophet Malachi says, I am the Lord and I do not change. Anybody heard that? Yeah. Here's the problem with our default interpretation. We default to an immediate thought, he doesn't change. But that's not what he said. He said, I'm the Lord and I don't change. What does he not change from? He doesn't change from being the Lord. It doesn't mean he doesn't change. It doesn't mean he doesn't do things different. As a matter of fact, Jonah is proof that he changes because the Bible said about God, he changed his mind. Behold, I do a new thing. Did he change? Yeah, he changed. He changes all the time. He does new things all the time. Amen. And I'll tell you the truth about that. He does new things all the time, and in that, he doesn't change. He doesn't change from changing. Yeah. But we read he doesn't change, and so we're like, oh, he doesn't ever do anything different. That's not. He's doing different things all the time. And then in that, he doesn't change because he's the Lord. And he'll never change from being the Lord, right? And so I had I mentioned a minute ago, I had an encounter on the airplane on Saturday. And I was getting on an airplane flying Southwest Airlines, and on Southwest Airlines, if you want anybody fly Southwest Airlines, you know, if you want a seat with leg room, you got to be the first one on the plane because they don't offer business class or first class. You know, you're not going to get any extra leg room. You got to get on there quick to try to either get the front row or an exit row. So I'm on the plane. I'm getting on the plane, and I always try to go for the front row, but there were people already on the plane who were just in transit. They had come from the previous flight, and they weren't getting off. They're going to the next one. And so all those seats were taken. I was like, oh, man. So I do what all of us good faith Christians do. Lord, give me a favor. Help me. Where's that front row parking? I'm going to circle the block until he does it. I'm going to circle the block until he does it. So I'm immediately thinking, Lord, help. Find me an exit row. And I see one. Exit row, there's no seat in front of it. And I'm like, that's my seat. So I'm trying, like, Lord, don't let anybody get, please, Lord, don't let anybody get that. And lo and behold, I got it. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I sit down in this seat, thinking, oh, this is going to be a good flight. All this leg room, I don't have anybody in front of me. Well, these two girls came and sat down next to me, and an African-American girl and a Hispanic girl, and the African-American girl sat down right next to me. And so I'm sitting there minding my own business because I don't like people. So I'm trying to, I'm just kidding. Anyway, it's hard to take that back. So I'm sitting on the plane and she starts singing. And I think, oh man, I thought this was a good flight just because I had leg room. This girl can sing. Or as we say in the South, she can sing. And she really could sing. And she was just singing under her breath. I thought, this is going to be a really good flight. And then she kind of quietens down on the singing and reaches down into her backpack and pulls out a book and opens the book, and it's the Bible. I'm like, Lord, this is going to be a real good flight. And she opens her Bible, and I, being the nosy person that I was at that moment, I look over and I see that she cracked her Bible open to Galatians chapter 1. Now, if you've never read Galatians chapter 1, I would encourage you, read Galatians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Read the whole thing. And so I see this, and I'm sitting there like, I want to say something. Now, my wife is very different from me. It's odd for me to even want to say anything. My wife would want to stand up and say, folks, she's got a Bible open to Galatians chapter 1. If you have a Bible, please everybody turn to Galatians chapter 1 on the airplane right now. She's bold like that. She's just like that. I'm not that. And I leaned over and I said, I'm not trying to be nosy. I mean, I was, but you got to start the conversation somehow, you know, so you got to try to act like you're not being what you actually are being. And so I said, I'm not trying to be nosy, but I hope you know that what you're about to read is some of the most life-transforming verses of Scripture in the whole Bible. And she said, why do you say that? And I said, well, because it's all about, this is the Apostle Paul's most passionate argument or discussion or explanation about the amazing grace of God. He's passionate about it. He's uncompromising about it. He's in your face about it. I mean, he takes grace like it's a cream pie and just jams it right in your face. That's what Galatians is. And she said, well, what's your favorite part? I said, well, I like all of it, but I really like Galatians chapter 3, especially somewhere around verse 29 where it says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. She said, why do you like that? I said, well, it just reminds me that God is not a God of punishing. He's a God of promise. In this day, he's a God of promise. There were days where he punished, but through Jesus Christ, he took all that punishment and put it on him. And today, he's the God of promise. But see, if you don't see the Bible through Jesus Christ, you don't see that. If you're trying to figure out the whole Bible by the perspective of Moses, you're going to miss it. You got to look at it through Jesus. He's the picture today. And she started crying. And come to find out, her name was Shekinah. And Shekinah, if you don't know that, it's a description from the Bible about the visible glory of God that you could see with your eyes. It was called the Shekinah glory, and that was her name. And I said, do you know where your name comes from? She said, yeah. I said, how do you know where your name comes from? She just puts her head down. She says, my daddy's a preacher. And I said, your daddy's a preacher. She said, yeah. And I said, well, my daddy's a preacher too. She said, well, are you a minister? I said, yeah, I'm a minister too. And she starts telling me about her life. And she says that, she said, I'm 30 years old now. And she said, at 23, I started making decisions and it seemed like I couldn't make a right decision. And I found myself way off where I knew I was supposed to be. And she said, I'm on this flight, headed home, to reconcile my relationship with my parents. And she said, every time I open this Bible, I keep being drawn to the book of Galatians. And I said, it's no accident, sweetheart, that you're being drawn to that. God's trying to get a message to you that he is able to wipe out your past and start all over. She said, I look at all of that and I just wonder, how can God wipe out that much past? I said, it's nothing to God. I said, you're trying to figure it out by A to point B to point C to point D, because that's how we connect dots. God says, okay, we're at A, let's go over to Q. And then we'll go to F, and then Y. And that's the way God connects dots in a way that we would never connect them. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves on this path with God, and we're so far removed from that past that we can't even find it anymore. That God can instantly remove us away from it and wipe it out. And he does that through his grace, through his mercy. He says that his grace is undeserved and unearned. This favor that he gave is unearned and undeserved. And she says, would you pray for me right now? I'm starting looking around now. I'm getting uncomfortable. Okay, sure. Sure, I'll pray for you. So she grabs both my hands, and I started praying for her. And she just wept and cried and wept and cried. And when it was all done, we get off the plane, and I'm walking out. My wife was picking me up at the airport, and I'm walking out. And this thought hit me. I was so caught up in in God getting me a seat for me. That he was more concerned of me getting a seat for her. And see, in this New Testament life that we have, yes, the favor of God is wonderful and beautiful, and it's yours. And it also has attached to it a purpose. And that purpose is for us to then help people understand what this New Testament beautiful life is. You know, we have our scripture here that we're pressing forward through Jesus Christ. Because you can't press forward without Jesus Christ. You can't. I know I keep harping on it, but you can't press forward through Moses. You can't press forward through David. You gotta get do it through Jesus. Because he's the picture today. He's the image today. And here's the sad part. If you read on in Hebrews, the Bible says in chapter 3, it says, the word of God was preached to everyone, but for some, it profited them nothing. Think about that. For those of us in this room who love the word, can you imagine the word of God profiting nothing? But it did. And he says, the reason why it profited nothing to some is because they didn't believe it. They just didn't believe it. But today, we have this beautiful New Testament life given to us through the grace of Jesus Christ. And if we believe it, we'll find ourselves pressing through things we never could on our own, because now we find ourselves in Christ. People ask me, new believers or people in the church who have friends who just become Christians, they'll ask me, you know, they want to read the Bible, where do they start? Well, I would say don't start with Genesis. And don't start with Matthew. I'd say this. I'd say start with Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, and Ephesians chapter 3. And then when you finish reading Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, then read Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, and Ephesians chapter 3. And then when you're done, read again Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, and Ephesians chapter 3. And then once you've done that, read Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, and Ephesians chapter... And here's why. This verse says, we press through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 say over and over and over and over who you are now in Christ. It is three chapters dedicated to your New Testament identity. And the best thing for a new believer to know is Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, and Ephesians chapter 3 to discover who they are in Christ. Once you get that settled, then when you read the other things, man, they make a lot more sense. Things get real clear and uncomplicated. Back to the simplicity of this. This is all about Jesus and none about anybody else. We want to make our Christianity today about us. Well, I got to press through. I got to do this. No, you got to do it through Christ. You don't do it through you. Peter had that experience with Jesus. He was out fishing all night. He said, I toiled all night and I caught nothing. And Jesus says, okay, now, do it with me. And go back out and do it this way. Okay. And he did. And I caught so many fish, the nets were breaking, boats were sinking. Yeah. See, when you're trying to press through in your own effort, without Jesus Christ, you'll find yourself always pressing and never gaining. You just keep pushing. You just keep pushing, and you're not going anywhere. And you find it. And it's real easy to go, God, where are you? Where are you? Well, I'm right here. If you just come over here, I got this path. You know, Psalm 63 says, he crowns the year with his goodness and his paths drip with abundance. Whose paths drip with abundance? His do. And it's amazing if you'll just get on his path, how much abundance you'll have in your life. But people want to make their own decisions, walk their own paths, and then go, God, where are you? I thought you were an abundant God. You're on the wrong path, baby. You got to get over on his path. He's got a wonderful promise on his path. And his path is Jesus Christ. And everything we look at through the word has to first be judged by Jesus and his life. Did we see it in the life of Jesus? If we didn't see it in the life of Jesus, be careful about adapting it to your theology first. Be careful about that, because you got to see it in Jesus. You got to see it in Jesus. You have to see it in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Some people think about God dropping lightning down on people. Hailstones. Well, he did that. But when James and John said, Jesus, they're disrespecting you. We want to call lightning down and fire down on them. Jesus said, you don't even know what spirit you're of. You see, telling us, some changed. Grace and truth came on the scene with Jesus Christ, John chapter 1 says. And when grace and truth came with Jesus Christ, fire and lightning from heaven down on people's head stopped. And I know there's popular preachers who want to say that every bad thing that happens is God's judgment. I'm here to tell you it ain't. There's a bad devil, and he sucks, and he wants to make your life bad. I can say that at Tent Revival, right? Okay. He wants to make your life bad. Jesus said it, John 10, verse 10. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come to give you life, that you may have more abundantly. Yeah. That's the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. And when you get a hold of who you are in Christ, something happens to you. Something happens to you. And you get a little bolder. And then another day goes by and you get a little more confident in who you are in Him. Because now you're seeing your life through Jesus Christ and not through Job. I'm not saying Job's not valid. I'm just saying when we're looking at God today, we have to look at Jesus first. And our identity is based on Him first before anybody else. But see, there's a scripture in Romans chapter 12 that says you shouldn't think more highly of yourself than you ought. It's verse 3, Romans chapter 12. First it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. How many of you have heard that scripture? Well, the way I always was kind of, I don't know if I was told this, but it was kind of the way it was always interpreted to me, was you better think bad of yourself. But that's not what it says. It says, don't think more highly than you should. That means there should be some high thinking, but just not too high thinking. It's okay to believe that you are a son and daughter of God, and it's okay to act like it. How did Jesus, again, we're looking at Jesus. He's the picture. How did Jesus act? Did Jesus go around talking to God about how terrible He was? Oh, Lord, I'm so unworthy, but I'm just so grateful to be a part. Just take care of me and mine. I don't want any for anybody else. I don't want to be greedy. I don't want to be selfish. Just take care of me. Did you ever hear Jesus talk like that? No. No, because a son and daughter don't talk like that to their dad. They don't talk like that. There's a boldness. There's a confidence that you have when you remember who you are. The scriptures say you can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We all know this verse of scripture. I can do all things through Christ. To some, that sounds cocky. How dare you say that? I didn't say I can do all things because I'm awesome. I said I can do all things through Christ. Amen. I was introduced some time ago at this meeting. It was a citywide joint meeting, and they asked me to take 15 minutes at the end and share a word and close it out. I was like, okay, cool, citywide deal, awesome. So I'm there, and we sat through several teams of praise and worship teams and from different churches. And then a guy gets up to introduce me, and he says, tonight I've asked Pastor Brandon Holler to come. And when I met this guy, I thought he's the cockiest guy I'd ever met in my life. Y'all give a hand to Pastor Brandon. I didn't even know how I was supposed to walk up there at that point. Do you walk up like this? Or do you walk up like, that's right, you heard it. I don't even know. I don't even know at that point. But I do know this. I don't feel like I am, but I am confident in who God is and who God is in me and who I am in Him. I'm very settled on that. And to people who aren't, it comes across cocky. It comes across arrogant. It comes across like, who do you think you are? Well, I'm a child of the one who created heaven and earth. Who are you? I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I have God who flung the stars out with His hand and holds the universe in His hand. I'm connected to Him. He's more than just a God, a distant, disconnected God. He's actually my Father. Jesus said, I came and made your name known to them. That's what He told God. The only name that Jesus made known that had not been known before Him was Father. Because he wanted us to know that this is a new day. This is a new day in this grand span of time. This is a new day. And our relationship with God is not about fearing some wrathful, punishing God. Today we are sons and daughters of a Father who is seated in heaven and has another son seated next to him, forever making intercession to us, proving to us that if there is a son there, this son can be there. If there's another son there, then this daughter can be there. Yes. Jesus is proof that we have a right to go to heaven. Amen. Because we have a Father. We have a Father. And Jesus did that. You can't in this New Testament life, you can't overlook Jesus. One thing I told this young lady on the airplane, I said, Shekinah, I'm so glad to be living on this side of the cross. And you're going to find a lot of peace if you'll just live on this side of the cross. If you live on this side of what Jesus Christ has done, you're going to find joy. You're going to see real clearly how he can wipe that past away. Just come on this side of the cross. Stop looking at all the old punishment and think that God's waiting for you to just do one more thing so he can zap you. Come on. Come over here to the side of the cross where there's forgiveness. Come to this side of the cross where the Bible says that God would remember your sins no more. Come to this side of the cross where God is not imputing sins against us, but he's imputing righteousness to us. Come on this side of the cross where we have peace and joy, hope and deliverance, where we have access to God through Jesus Christ. We can come on this side of the cross where you can come boldly to the throne of grace when you're in need and find grace and mercy to help you when you need it the most. You see, if you don't look at the Bible through Jesus Christ, you won't come boldly to the throne of grace. You'll come to the throne telling God how unworthy you are. Can I just help you for a moment with that? Why are you telling God something he already knows? Why are you spending so much time telling him something he already knows? And the reason I know he knows it is because he sent his son to fix that. Why do you keep throwing that back in his face? He sent Jesus to fix that, to get rid of that unworthiness off of your life. Stop going to God with your head down. Stop avoiding him because you've messed up. I heard a preacher on the TV. Couldn't believe he said it. He said, before you come to God, you better get your life right. How am I going to get my life right if I don't come to God? I did more than switch the channel. I want to smash the TV. And you know, you don't be lifting your hands in worship if you got sin in your heart. I don't know what else to do. I've got to come to him. And the best way I know to come to him is to throw my hands up and say, I give up. I messed up. I screwed up. I can't fix this. Help me. If I gotta fix it myself before I can lift my hands, I'm never going to get it fixed. I'm in trouble. It's never going to work. I have to come to him filthy and stained and worthless for him to fix it. And I have to come to him with that, all of that. I have to come to him boldly with all that stuff. Yeah. Wow. That's right. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians, my repetition to you is not for harm, but it's actually for your good and your own safety. So I'm going to repeat it again. If you're looking at your life through Moses, you'll never come boldly to the throne of grace. And I'm not here to pick on Moses, because Moses was a shadow, a fantastic picture. But he was a shadow. He wasn't Jesus. Amen. We have Jesus. Moses, Abraham, David, they all spoke of a day coming that they wished they were alive when it would happen. And that day they were talking about was today. So I want to just encourage you before I finish. I want to encourage you that, how long have I been preaching?
Like an hour and a half.
Hour and a half, okay. So I got 30 more minutes, good. They told me I could go till dark, but I don't think I'm going to go till dark. I really say these things not to, I hope you, you don't, some of you don't know me, and you don't know my heart, but my heart is for you. And I don't say these things to chastise you or to smack you around for bad thinking, but I want to encourage you to think right about our God, our good God, who loves us. Oh, how he loves us. How much more does he have to do? He gave us Jesus. What more could he do? He demonstrated his love, the Bible says. He demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He didn't wait on you. He didn't wait on you. He moved first. That's why I love the order that you did that tonight, Hannah. I thought that was... I don't know if you thought about it this way, but if you did, it's awesome. If you didn't, it's still awesome. We sang, he loves us first. That's what we sang, he loves us. And then we sang, I love you. Because you see, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, this is the love. Not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. See, religion wants to switch that around on us and say, you better love God if you want him to love you. No. I love him because he loves me. And it's his love towards me that empowers me and enables me to love him back the right way. And you sang it in that order. I thought that was beautiful. Can we do that again? Can we do that again right now? Okay, let's do that right now. Can y'all okay to do this? Can we just sing that again right now? Can you just sing that chorus of he loves us, and then we'll change it to I love you? Can you just do that part? Oh, I have your mic, don't I? You sang it by yourself anyway, right? You're one of them girls that don't need no man. You got a good man over here. You got a good man over here. I'm just kidding.
Then I found Jesus.
But Hannah said something